welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraband Ali of ContrabandAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Deacon Millett of FourAlters.org in Joshua Tree, California, bringing us today's topic on Hoodoo community and preparing for Valentine's Day. Afterwards, they'll be taking your calls and offering advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and described by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjure Man Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Thank you for that introduction. Well, you know, our subject today is hoodoo community. So the first thing I want to ask you is, how are things where you are, Papa Newt? Is there a hoodoo community, and are you a part of it, or are you part of an online community?
You know, there's in where I'm at, there's not really much of a known community just because the nature of the Midwest or middle of Nebraska. So throughout my getting into just magic in general, it has always been through online. But I've have had beautiful relationships that have grown into the physical world, which is wonderful. I'm very grateful for them. But right now, it's just online for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, this is kind of where we're going to explore that. Thanks for sharing that, because online is not unreal. But it is not the old-fashioned way of having a community. And I'm just going to say something here before I pass the question over to Contraband Ali and answer it myself. And also I'm going to bring in our guest. But let me just say something here. We could be saying the custom car community. Right? Mm. It exists online and it exists in person, too. We could say the model railroad community exists online, mm-hmm. exists in the you know, real world too. So this is not unique to magic. So you don't need to feel bad if you're in an area where there aren't any other model railroaders. You meet them online. But and that doesn't mean that model railroading, by being the only person in northwestern Nebraska or wherever you are who does model railroading, that you would be somehow insufficient or not well-versed in your work. It just means you're out there mm-hmm. kind of in an area where there aren't many people. So a lot of people think, oh, online isn't quite as good. It isn't quite as good. It would be a lot more fun if you belong to a railroading club and could meet with people every last Sunday of the month, for instance. But you can't. So there you are. So, but thanks for answering the question, Papa Newt, and thanks for being our announcer. Now, I'm gonna say a little bit about myself, what's been going on here. We're preparing for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Well, this is hoodoo community in person up front and once a year, very, very real. We have about 100 to 125 people show up onto our little property here. We have workshops. We all get to meet each other. Not everybody comes every year. It's a long trip, and it costs money. But some people come repeatedly. And why? Because it is a good way to have community. And in the week preceding the festival, which this year is going to be May 14th and 15th, 2016. In the week preceding that, we have our apprenticeship. And this is, again, community. This is where people come who are my students. They come early. They get to know and meet one another. And you all have heard me talk, and I've been kind of rude about it sometimes, about these crazy wannabes who want to take my correspondence course, which does mean that they're not going to be in person because it's a correspondence course. That means they do it by mail and turn in their stuff by mail. But they want to do it without being part of any connection to the hoodoo community. But the problem is they don't even want to be connected to the hoodoo community online. No black friends, no real interest in hoodoo, don't know anybody who practices it online. They want me to be the only person they know who practices hoodoo. That won't fly as a student. They've got to be part of the community, even if the community that they can be part of is merely the online community. Because hoodoo, like every other folk magic, is part of a community upswelling of interest. Now, I'm going to say that today, it's a beautiful sunny day here in California, and people have been driving, and Super Bowl, but not everybody watches the Super Bowl, not everybody cares. People have been driving long distances to show up here at the shop, and I've been making oils, making stock oils, you know, the formulas, and I smell it quite a bit right now, like kind of a combination of Blockbuster and Money Stay With Me, I think is where I'm at today. And but I've also been dyeing the carrier oils, you know, the almond oils, by the jug, and Yosei has been helping me. We made many, many gallons of these things, and people have been coming and going, coming and going. People have come from San Francisco. People have come from Sacramento. People have come from Hayward and East Bay, and they have driven a long way to see us because we are part of their community, and that's kind of nice. So thank you to all the customers who drove all the way to see us. It's very kind of you. You could have ordered online, but you wanted that personal service. You wanted to meet us. You wanted to ask questions, and we're here to provide that. So community in hoodoo is not always about the people you live with and the people in your family, but it can also be your local shop. So shop online if you must, but make sure you do go down and support a local candle shop and be where the people are who do this work. Okay, now I'm going to turn this over to Ollie. Tell me what your local hoodoo community is like. Do you have people in person? Do you mostly work online with your friends?
I am a little bit of an oddball in that regard, in that I am not online very often. Well, I'll say that I participated in the hoodoo online community and via Facebook and the internet and whatnot. I'm not online often. I often remark how much years and years ahead of me you are, Kat, in that regard, that you're very good at social media and online. Well, so you have kind of both communities. So for me, most of my community is in person. I have a community of students and apprentices and people who are interested in. It's a small community down here in Southern California. And sometimes that community has a lot of intersection. So we meet at, for example, a Neo-Pagan or Wiccan store every once in a while who invites me out to give talks, or the local candle shop. But I myself am also having a community around me of students and clients and people that I help. So I would say that I have both online and in person, but mostly in person and less so online.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now I'm going to bring in our guest. So our guest today is Deacon Millett. Hello, Deacon Millett.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're just fine, and love to have you as a guest and a sometimes a substitute host. I really rely on you a lot because you're a good guy. And
one of our favorite guests, if I might say.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Now,
for those of you who tuned in the first time, and there always will be someone to whom this show is brand new, no matter how many years from now you happened to pick this up in the archives. And this, by the way, is what is formally known in the comic book world as Ironwood's Law. No matter what time... Deacon Millett remembers this, right? Ironwood's Law. No matter what time, year, date you find this, it's new to you, but it happened at another time. And you have to kind of do a little time travel. You're always going to do a little time traveling. So somebody's going to be listening to this who never heard about hoodoo until 20 minutes ago, and this radio show was the first thing, right? So Deacon Millett has a well-established practice as a root worker and as an astrologer, has a church that he's the pastor of, Four Altars, down in the high desert in Southern California. He has a chapel where he burns candles for people, sets lights, as we would say, and he has written books on love magic, a couple of really well-selling books, one on honey and sugar spells, and they can be used for everything from money to love, and then another one on love reconciliation. And Deacon Millett is the owner, proprietor of Hoodoo Psychics, which is an online psychic service where you can get readings by the minute from well-trained and trusted readers. And he is the reading wrangler at the annual Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, which I just mentioned. May 14th and 15th, 2016 is this year's festival, and the reading tents are sponsored by Hoodoo Psychics. And he is a member of AIR. And what else can I say about you, Deacon Millett? He has lots of pets.
True. Famous for his love astrology.
Yeah, known for his love astrology. Oh, that's right. The love astrology.
Yes.
You need love astrology.
Everything,
love, yep. Couples astrology, that's your fellow. All right. Well, as always, our guest brings our topic to us. So it was Deacon Millett who brought us the topic. So I'm going to turn him loose on this. Deacon Millett, is your Hoodoo community in person, online? How do you meet up with other people?
Well, it's a lot easier in the Hoodoo community now than in the good old days, because we're all interconnected via the Internet, and that's quite a wonderful experience. For me, there's a person-to-personness of the Hoodoo Heritage Festival every year that really helps me, because I'm a very tangible person. I like seeing faces and hearing voices, and that yearly kind of connection to people keeps me going all year round. That's the thing that kind of makes all of the Facebooking and emailing turn into something that to me is more human and less lonely. I think that there is a lot of loneliness when you talk about some of your students and how disconnected they are. It reminds me of me when I was young, and all I could do was send you letters. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
We did not have this internet connectability thing that has made it so wonderful. But we did have, you know, yearly get-togethers with our friends that made getting by something that was feasible. And I think that longing for community is underneath a lot of the longing for love that I see in my clients when their love lives aren't going so hot. People tend to want one person to fulfill all their needs for connectedness, and that's putting a lot on a single human being, you know. What I think is far better is having a network of friends and people who are praying for you. The Crystal Silence League is a whole other avenue of community for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps to get us through our days, you know. So I love being a member of AIR, and I love helping connect people through Hoodoo Psychics. And I feel really blessed with all the magical friends in my world.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, hon. And you hit on something here with yearly get-togethers. Every year, almost every community, and I'm going to use that word in the broadest sense, every community that is not what we would call your everyday job stuff, every community has some way of gathering, whether it's the family reunion
mm-hmm.
day when everyone goes back to Tyler, Texas and says hi to the cousins, or it's the annual G-Scale Model Railroad Modelers Convention, which in 2016 will be held in Silicon Valley, California, and I'll be there. Whether it is the annual San Diego Comic Con, people come from all around the world to come to that. And there usually are also smaller yearly gatherings, like, you know, different in different towns, that people who cannot make that pilgrimage all around the world. We'll have a yearly convention, whatever it will be. Different, different. Right now, we have PantheaCon coming up at for the pagans. They meet once a year at PantheaCon. Not everybody goes every year, but many people do, and that is a way to meet a couple thousand people. Now, hoodoo has not had a long history of that in recent years. There used to be the spiritualist meetings that were held in New Orleans back in the 1930s, and they were held quadrennially, every 4 years, during the era that Harry Hyatt was interviewing people, and they mentioned, we meet every 4 years for our spiritualist, and this was what was called, and pardon my language, it was the official name of it, the Colored Spiritualist Association. In other words, it was during the era of segregation, and these were the black spiritualists. And they met in New Orleans. That finally fell by the wayside, and it was not picked up by anything else. So the idea of having these gatherings is very important to meet people. It doesn't mean you're not a good worker if you don't, but it does help you understand the community. And it does help you understand how things are done. I just wrote a web page, and I put it up, and I was pretty happy with it. It was about how candle services are conducted at our church. And some of you may have seen it. It's you can just go to Missionary Independent, well, you can go to candleministry.com, and then you just click on the thing where it says candle services about. And if you go to that, it'll show people lighting the candles, labeling them, dressing them, fixing them, and so forth. And I've been lighting candles for people for years and years and years, and I never put this page together until just the other day. And it occurred to me that people didn't really know how a church candle service was conducted because they'd never physically been to the church. Mm-hmm. So they had unrealistic expectations. They would phone and say, "Can you go out and check my candle?" And I'm like, "We have 250 candles on the altar. How am I going to find yours? They're all on fire. I want to reach my hands. No, I'm not going to catch my beautiful long rayon sleeves on fire. I ain't going to do it. Wait till your candle is done. We'll pull it off. How do I check if they're done? I put my hand on it. And if it's cold, I pick it up. If it's warm, I pull my hand away. I can't even see that far. But candles, it's a wazoo out there. They are all being tended to five times a day. And just today I was showing Coral how when you come back, you know, you pull them off the altar, put them to the side, and they'll be picked up at the end of the day or the early the next morning and then go to the reading room. People didn't know that. They didn't know that because they'd never actually seen it. So part of what happens when you don't have community is you lose information, you lose knowledge. And it becomes like a movie. And I don't mean that in the way that it becomes like a fantasy, but it becomes like a movie because it's edited. Well, you place your order, you cut, and, you know, you see a hand lighting a candle, cut, and then you get a report. What happened in between? Well, a movie just cut that down. But in reality, there are many, many steps. And so one of the things I always recommend is go to your local candle shop. And it doesn't mean that it has to be Lucky Mojo. Go to your local candle shop. Go to your local root worker and ask how things are done. Now, you have a church out there in the desert, Deacon Millett. You do services long distance for people too, right?
Absolutely. And it's a very similar situation to how you guys do it up there. The same basic steps apply. I really loved seeing how you had kind of made it all so clear with photographs and everything. It really was, it's a great page for those who haven't visited it yet. And yes, the same exact situation here. I'm very concerned about summer this year because the number of candles has been going up and up, and we've taken advantage of winter. But here in the desert, I really worry about reaching a flammable potential.
Oh my God.
This week it's 144 candles. So it's as you say, it's something else to tend it all, and we have assistants, and you know, it's a full-time job.
It is a full-time job. Yeah, and your church is cooled with a swamp cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it gets 120 degrees down there in the desert. And I mean, I've seen it. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. So, yeah. But see, here's the thing. People rely on us through the Internet. They really do. And
mm-hmm.
the Internet makes it possible for people who otherwise might have led, like you said, a very lonely or unsocial life to have
mm-hmm.
a social relationship. There are groups that you can join and so forth. And, of course, you can connect with people one-on-one via social media, Twitter and Facebook and all those things, Instagram. People put up Pinterest boards if they have nothing to say, just want to show a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Those ways of connecting are real. They are real.
Mm-hmm.
And they are traditional to hoodoo. If you go back in the old days and you look at, like,
I happen to have
the extensive correspondence of Dr. E.P. Reed, and he was a root doctor in Philadelphia. And he saved every letter that was ever sent to him in the envelope that it came in, and he sent out little flyers and postcards reminding people that he had specials on or that, you know, answering their questions. And he saved all this, and when he died, it was just put away, and then eventually it was sold, and I ended up with a very big trove of these letters.
Mm.
And that was a community of people all around Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't all make it down to E.P. Reed's candle shop, herb shop, what he had. They would write him letters, some of them even in Philadelphia, because in those days it cost a penny for a letter, and it would be delivered the same afternoon. And he would write them but little handwritten notes, you know, well, here, take this prescription of these powders and do this thing, and this herb is good for this health thing, and you're going to want a John the Conqueror root for him to carry in his pocket, you know, whatever it's going to, he wrote these little answers. And so we know that correspondence as a form of dealing with hoodoo has always been with us, at least since the days of the emancipation of slaves. So if anybody tells you, oh, hoodoo used to all be in person, No.
Yes.
It wasn't.
Thank you for bringing that up. It's such an important point because you often hear that, you know, what I call the hipster-esque element of certain communities or claims that people make, right? Like, in order for something to be authentic, it somehow needs to be a certain way. And you do hear this quite a bit about correspondence, right? Like, oh, you can't really learn from a correspondence course. People didn't actually call up root workers. And so there is very strong historical evidence that communities were built long distance, that they weren't just in person. And this goes to the nature of hoodoo as well, right? It'd be a mistake to see hoodoo as only rural. Right, as only something that happens out in the countryside. Hoodoo is a very strong urban side to it as well. And even in those rural communities, I know people who ordered their products, even if they lived in the countryside, via mail order.
I want to break in here. I'm sorry, I want to break in here and just correct something in the chat room because I just saw this fly by. Alchemical artisans always said, if Dr. E.P. Reed was in Pennsylvania, he probably practiced powwow as well. No, actually, he did not. And this goes to exactly what Ollie was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was an African-American man from New Jersey, and his family was originally from Virginia. He just moved to Pennsylvania.
Yep. And so this is kind of the what I would call the unwritten history of hoodoo, right? There's a sort of attempt to make it either rural or something else. But the reality is that a lot of hoodoo practitioners ordered things via mail. Even if they knew that they could find something in the countryside, it was not uncommon that if you didn't have a local pharmacy shop that you can go to, right, that you would order things online or order things via mail.
Right.
So that's a very important thing. Now, I think correspondence and the need to communicate and the need to connect goes to really the nature of the type of magic or spiritual practice that hoodoo is. So you can divide magic up in a certain way, or I should say magical practitioners up, into really two categories, those that have a monastic bent to them, right? And this really emerges out of a sort of temple magic, which originally was community-based, but with the fall of temples, moved magic into the household. We see this in Renaissance-style magic, in ceremonial magic. It is the magic of people who do things for themselves or do work for their own spiritual evolution, their own spiritual kind of attainment and enlightenment. And their magical work is often done in the privacy of their own homes. And so this is, it's a very monastic style of work. It's solitary. It's you buy certain ingredients. It involves things like fasting and prayer and even sacred rooms, like creating a temple within your home. And there's also quite urban and very much related to the upper classes of society, people who can afford to be magicians. There is another aspect to magic, and that is the folk magic. Folk magic, if ceremonial magic is really a kind of an evolution of the temple magic, folk magic is the magic of the people. And this is what hoodoo really speaks to, right? It's community-based. It's not, while certainly people practice for themselves, certainly there was, they did work for bringing in love for themselves or helping with that one boss. They often learned it in a community setting, whether it was from a family member or via going to their a candle shop or corresponding with a root doctor who told them, hey, take these powders and lay it in front of that one person. And then this is a very important aspect. While you can certainly be a solitary practitioner, and I'm not going to say that if you aren't, you're not practicing real hoodoo. I'm not going to be elitist in that sense. But hoodoo at its root core is a form of community practice. It's meant to bring people together. It's meant to be a set of traditions that are passed down, that create connections, that form a community, whether that's online or in person. So it really speaks to the kind of the nature of the work that we do, to have a community build up around what our practice is.
Right. Right. I'm gonna jump in with another thing from the chat room, and I want to thank all you guys in chat. A little shout out first. We have Alchemical Artisan's Hour. We have Amenti the Writer, Anna Gabriella, California Sister, Captain Conjure, Conjure Manali. Of course, you're on the air with us. E.F. Still. Well, and there's someone I'm not sure how to. Grimian Ocean. I'm just going to call him. A whole bunch of people who signed up only as guests. Hocus Ex Pocus, Jaya Dania, Madam Nadia, Miss Michael, Onyx Star. And, well, the chat room is full. Papa Newt, Rad 123, readings by Evan. He's always there. Sweet Woodruff, hi, Evan. Tiger, and V.L. McRae and Madam Samantha are some of the people in the chat, and there are more joining up as I speak, but I'm not going to go back and try again. So, anyway, going back to Madam Nadia and Miss Michael, they both made some very interesting comments. Madam Nadia said, sometimes not being seen at the local candle store was important, and that's why people ordered by mail. Miss Michael followed that by saying, speaking of being seen or not, I'll never forget the sight of the Baptist deacon in his Sunday suit carrying a case of candles out of the neo-pagan candle shop across the street in Oakland, California, 15 years ago. And I know exactly which neo-pagan shop is indicated, and I know exactly which Baptist church that was. So, and that is true. That is true.
Yep.
And I've had... I had an Assemblies of God preacher, Black Assemblies of God preacher, as a client for many years who purchased, always purchased the same thing, a combination of attraction and money-drawing sachet powders to sprinkle on the doormats, you know, where you scrape your feet when you come in the door, to attract people into his church. And he was a ready, steady client. He always used that. He'd been using it before I was in business, and he needed that attraction and money-drawing to get in lots of congregants and to get them to tithe well. So, but you know, he wanted to order by mail. He didn't want to be ordering down in where he was living because it would have seemed unseemly. So yeah, sometimes we want to do magic on the down low, and that is certainly part of what magic is, but it's not always for that reason. That you know, and sometimes people will go into a candle shop and always be buying all the good, pretty blessing stuff and talk a little bit about something. And, oh, I need that other thing. I think I'll order that by mail. Because they don't want people in their town to know what they ordered. That's for sure.
And along those lines, a lot of root doctors, if they weren't the deacon themselves, were quite well known in the church. And remember, this is a Southern Christian practice. It's not divorced from that in any way, shape, or form. So if you went to your church, if you were part of the church community, everyone in the church knew who that one person was, whether it was a him or her or Mrs. So-and-so, who could fix the issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was not uncommon, for example, in Virginia, for deacons or ministers to sometimes point people in that direction. Well, you know, you need to see Mrs. Hattie. She could pray for you. So, you know, and there was this, and this really speaks to the nature of the community, right? Everyone had their place in it. Everyone was part of this nucleus of of sharing each other's problems, of helping one another. And more often than not, they were also the deacon themselves, or they were the minister, or it was the minister's wife, right? So the minister handled the congregation, but the minister's wife handled the things, you know, lighting candles or saying prayers or prescribing oils and powders. So it really is quite an interesting and fascinating history that is a bit overlooked.
You know, Charles Porterfield tells a story about this in Texas when he was young, growing up. He would be taken to by a kind of complex story, and he can tell it better than me, but he used to go to a black Baptist church and was taken there by a man who was the foreman of his grandfather's construction company. Kind of complicated. That's just where he went to church. He was taken there as a kid. But he said after church, there was a parking lot. It was just probably dirt, gravel parking lot. It was not in a big town or anything. And this was in the outskirts of a town called Boyd, Texas, if you ever heard of it. And but he said there was a lady who'd set up at a little table, or she'd sit, and after church, people would walk over to her, and she'd fill out little slips of paper for them, and she'd give them, what was it? Prayers? Was it lucky numbers? What was it? You know, of course, he was a child, and he was not one of the people who could go to her table and find out. But he said it was very interesting to him that it was done in the church parking lot after church.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is community. Community is embracing of many different ways of working. And we hear a lot, and again, I don't mean to single out the white neo-pagans for mocking or shaming, but we hear a lot from the white neo-pagans who are afraid. They they believe that they will be censured, shamed, driven out of their families, and who knows, it may be so. Because they have broken with a tradition in their family of being perhaps Christian or some other religion. And they sometimes feel what I would call a bit endangered, harassed, and driven toward solitude. And this has led to a lot of very good books on solitary practitioners in the neo-pagan community. One of the best authors about this was Scott Cunningham. And this is a definite felt need in the white neo-pagan community. It's for real. It's not like, as Deacon Millett said at the beginning, this is real, but it isn't as important a factor in hoodoo. Because hoodoo doesn't drive people away.
Right. And then this really speaks to kind of the evolution of what it went through. There was a time where being sneaky and secretive was very important to hoodoo, especially in an era where racism existed, where you lived on a plantation. So you had to learn to kind of adapt and hide. So when we look at, for example, slave houses in the plantations, we would find things hidden in floorboards and whatnot. But at one point, hoodoo was about reclaiming your power, right? It's about recreating a community that was broken and then reformed again. And that's what hoodoo plays a big factor, and that's why hoodoo is about a certain level of courage, right? It is accepted into the community. It may not always be spoken about in very vocal terms, but it is there and present and alive and well in the community. So I tell this to clients because I experience this. When I have my clients, I have a core group of clients that I inherited from my teacher, right? These are people that grew up in the South, who have a tradition of this, who've been going to Mama J for years and years, and I inherited them. So when I prescribe things to them, it's very easy. It's very straightforward. I say, go do this, and this. No questions, no problems, right? But kind of with the rise of the Internet, there is an influx of clients who are not familiar with this. So I go and tell them, you need to go and prepare this and this so-and-so. But what if I'm seen, right? Or have people who go, you know, you have to go out to the crossroads for this many nights. But what if a car drives by? What if someone sees me? And this really talks about the kind of courage that's needed, the willingness to accept that, hey, you have the right to be happy. You have the right to have love. You have the right to, which is inherent in the kind of community-based power that is hoodoo. Everyone has the right to be happy. Everyone has the right to have love. And as a community, you should be prosperous. And that's what hoodoo offers you. So if you're going to be involved in this tradition, I guess I should say there's two C's that are needed, I would say. Community and courage. Those are the two things that are needed.
Yeah. I want to bring in something else here, too, because it isn't as much a battle in a community where this stuff is known. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's African-American is going to think cursing is okay. And a lot of white people come into this and go, oh, well, they're the people who curse, so they're, you know. No. There's going to be variable ideas and opinions, and it's going to depend also on what denomination of what religion the people who discuss it belong to. Some people don't like any magic, and some people are very friendly to it. So you're not going to find a uniformity. But what we're talking about when we talk about community is people go to a reader and they say, tell me what to do, and they get out their paper and pen. Well, you know, they've been to a reader before because they know to get out their paper and pen, right? The other ones, the ones who stand there looking at you kind of dumbstruck, and you're like reeling off, you know, your best spell, and they go, could you tell me all that again? And you're like, oh, no. Right? So the community teaches people how to be members of the community. And so the community is the one who says, hey, get out your paper and pen, honey, because I'm going to be talking now for 15 minutes.
Yep. You know?
So community teaches you. And, and in the chat room, Nagashiva said, can I record you? Yes, nowadays I tell people, please record me. Let's get this down, you know, because that is what makes them then a good member of the community. Now, we have about 3 more minutes to talk about getting ready for Valentine's Day, and we talked about the right to have love. So let's just give a little bit of preparation here for Valentine's Day. It's the time everyone knows they're going to be meeting with somebody. They're going to hopefully have a party, have a date. Let's just quickly, Deacon Millett, what would be your, just an idea about how people prepare for Valentine's Day?
Well, I'll speak later about Valentine's cards themselves. But one thing that, as I was looking through Hoodoo Foods today, it just struck me that a really amazing dinner can be had from that book. There are, and not just desserts, because I'm always into chocolate and love. To me, they just go hand in hand. But there are so many wonderful entree, vegetable ideas. There's a full menu that could be made from that book that if you wanted to sit somebody down to a really delicious candlelight dinner, all made from fixed foods, which I know Madam Nadia was talking about last week. That book has got everything you could want for every course. So that
we're at the end of our time. Yeah, we're at the end of our time. We'll come back to Valentine's later when we do the free spells. Right now, we're going to go to Papa Newt, and we're going to take our first reading. This is the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Conjure Man Ollie and Catherine Ironwood, and our guest, Deacon Millett.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ollie, and this week's special guest, Deacon Millett. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. All calling clients are selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 207 in Maine. This is Mary Jane. Mary Jane, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. And welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you. It is.
Oh, perfect. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Punchman Ali on the situation, but you have had a reading with Professor Ames on the situation. Is that correct?
That's right. I've had two readings with Professor Ames.
Thank you, Mary Jane. And she writes, my boyfriend is not in love with me, but I am in love with him. I've gotten a favorable reading 2 or 3 months ago, but things are still somewhat shaky and have almost ended a few times.
I asked him to please stay. On his end, due to his not feeling in love with me, and he has not said he loves me yet, I would like to see what I can do, and or if maybe he will tell me he loves me soon or will fall in love with me. Turn it back over to you.
All right. Well, this is Catherine, Mary Jane. I have a couple of questions for you. How long have you and the boyfriend been seeing each other?
That's a good question. Almost 7 months. It'll be that long in a few days.
7 months, okay. And what sign of the zodiac are you?
Libra.
A Libra. And what sign of the zodiac is the man?
Pisces.
Pisces. And okay, we're going to get to that in a moment. We're going to unpack that. But we're all going, but we'll explain.
Did you hear
and,
the three? That...
and three astrologers going,
Uh-oh, no.
Yeah. And then the last question I have for you is, about how old are you? In your 20s, 30s, 40s?
Early 40s.
Early 40s. So you've been with other people before, and so has this boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
He's quite a bit younger, but yes. Yeah.
He's quite a bit younger. How much younger?
Mm-hmm.
How much time?
Let's say around 10 years or so.
10 years. All right. Well, I'm with a husband 14 years younger, and so you can train a man 14 years younger to say he loves you. Don't worry about that. It's not about the age necessarily. It might be about the age for this person. All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to say you're a Libra. That's a cardinal sign, and when they make a decision, they want it to be carried through. He's a Pisces, and that's a mutable sign. And that is a person who often rethinks things and changes their mind. They're a little less stable. They're not to say they are unstable, but they tend to be more changeable, go through more different changes in their life than a Libra will. However, a Libra is an air sign, and air inherently is a little bit more floaty than, say, Earth. So you have a little bit of the floatiness, but he's got a lot more. All right. Now, I'm going to, and the age may be an issue, too. So the first card I have here, well, I understand why Professor Ames gave you a beneficial or favorable reading, because the first card I have is the Ace of Cups. And the Ace of Cups is a card that shows the hand of God holding a golden goblet with the dove of the Holy Spirit flying in, water overflowing the cup, and falling into a beautiful pond of pinkish water lilies. So this is a card of blessings. It's a card of, in some cases, sexual union. And it's a very good card. It's a card of blessings and a great deal of hope and possibility. It is not a bad card in any way and indicates that there is something there between the two of you, which is a blessing to both of you. The next,
go ahead, sorry.
The next card, I always do three cards, honey. The next card is the Knight of Cups, and this shows a man who is still searching for something. He has been through a dry desert. He's holding a cup. He has an ideal of love, but he's still searching. Way across the river is a cliff, and on top of the cliff is an oak tree, and at the base of the cliff are little trees. Apparently, he has not yet scrambled up that cliff to where you are, and he may not. He may consider you a companion of the way, someone that he may find love and sexuality with. He's come to a little stream here. He can refill his cup. He's on his horse. But this is not a card of someone who has found the answer to their heart's desire. This is a man who is a seeker, and he may still be seeking. This card relates to Pisces peripherally because the man has on a armor, and then over the armor he has a little tunic on or a little robe, and it has fishes embroidered all over it, so it's a watery man. One of the things about these two cup cards would indicate that you should be able to help by feeding him, bathing him, and getting moisturizing things on him somehow to help him declare love. But the problem card is the card of the future, and it's not a really great card, I'm sad to say. It tells me here, it's the Ten of Wands, and it says that you may become exhausted. This is a person who's carrying 10 sticks to a home, and to a garden home, and they have these 10 sticks and they are carrying them, and it's not easy for them. And the reason I asked you how long this has been going on is I'm always looking for numbers in my cards. The ace was a 1, knight doesn't have a number, the 10 is the number 10. So I'm going to give you your expiration time. It's been 7 months. This says 10 months. If by the 10th month you have not, and I would run it out, if at the end of 10 months you're still carrying all the burden of the love yourself and you have not gotten to an understanding, you will wear yourself out if you go farther. Right now, we're still the everything is still in play, but the problem is the longer this drags on, the more tired and worn out you're going to become, and the less the less happy the situation will be. Now, again, I'm not telling you that this guy is a bad person, but I'm saying you are being strained. He's still searching. He's still thinking about it, but you have an expiration date, too, for one year older than him, and you have less time to go through the sorting process of sorting the 3.5 billion men on Earth to find who's the best for you. 3.5 billion men, even if you only took the men within 20 years lower and higher than your age, you'd still be searching through a billion men. So you can't spend more than about 10 months on each one. You're going to waste your time, right? So I'm not saying that he's a bad person, but you see, he's at a lower stage in his life. He can waste time and find time or whatever. Now, I'm going to give you one other thought before I'm done with this reading, and this is a thought based on what I know about people. When a man says he has not said he loves you, when a man cannot say he loves you, and that he says he doesn't feel in love with you, what he's talking about is a hormone, and you can look up this hormone. It's called phenylethylamine. And phenylethylamine is a hormone. It's a bit like methamphetamines or speed. It's human speed. It's found in chocolate. It's the thing that makes you feel giddy and in love. And he's saying he doesn't feel that for you. He may feel oxytocin, which is bonding and sexuality, but he may not feel phenylethylamine for you. And he may be searching for that. He may be, in fact, at his young age, unable to distinguish the difference between the hormone phenylethylamine and the hormone oxytocin. But at your age, you probably can tell the difference. You know what that thing is where you have your vagus nerve kind of twiddles and you just go, oh, I'm all twitterpated. That's phenylethylamine. And then the other one where you're just snuggling and pushing and nuzzling and nosing the person, and that's oxytocin. He may have a problem distinguishing. Okay, that's what I'm going to say about that. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett and see what he does as a reading.
Thank you.
Hi there. So I'm also going to pull three cards, but from a very different deck. I'm using the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, or I guess it's now called the Tantric Dakini Oracle deck, if you want to order it from Lucky Mojo. So I'm going to pull three cards, and we will see where things are going here. The first card is totally bananas. This card shows a banana. It's very phallic, and there are two people having sex on the tip of the banana. So you guys definitely enjoy yourselves. There's no doubt about that. It's a very fun image, but there's an aspect of kind of a like craziness to it as well. You know, we say, oh, I'm totally bananas over him. Well, being totally bananas might be fine for a little while, but it doesn't work long term. So something to think about there is that you guys may be on different wavelengths, and it may not be something that's appropriate for a long-term romance. The second card here is one of my favorite love cards. The card is Heart Drop, and this card shows a beautiful jewel in the shape of a heart, and this is the card of distillation of emotion. This is the card that comes when you put your heart and soul into a piece of creativity, whether that is a painting or a love poem or a prayer. It's about distilling all of your emotions into something truly wonderful. The downside of this is not about pouring your love into human beings. It's about pouring them, pouring it into something symbolic. And this may be part of the problem, that he has these very highfalutin ideas of what love is and what in love is, and that his heart should be soaring with poetry all the time. But as we get older, we realize that our hearts don't soar with poetry all the time, that we need to marry the perfect roommate and settle down with someone who makes our hearts feel safe. So there is that fear that I feel when this card, don't think he needs it. This is the card of people who go to too many movies, and love is supposed to be like Titanic. Well, yeah, Titanic doesn't end well. Something to keep in mind. The third card here is Solar Return, and this is the card of birthdays. It's the card of astrology. Definitely tells me that there are some astrological things you should explore about why you are so drawn to him and yet he feels so noncommittal to you. There's an age factor with this card, and there's an age factor with this romance, but the thing I can tell you is the couples that seem to work best, from my point of view, have had the farther out planets have had time to move so that they can form new and interesting combinations when I put two charts together. And this is something, when I see people who are born too close together, all of their generational planets are the same. So they don't form these interesting new patterns. So definitely you'll want to take a look at your astrology. I understand where you're coming from. My husband's 13 years younger than me, and it really works perfectly. But it's much easier for us, and I'm also a Capricorn, very I decide and I'm done, it's very easy for us to see the possibility, whereas for them, it takes a little longer. They're still exploring and still trying to figure things out that we've already, thankfully, got under our belts. So good luck. I pray it's going to work for you guys, because I think that there's something really magical here.
I feel that way, too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, we're going to turn this over to Conjure Man Ali, and he's going to give you some ideas for root work, for working with what we've got, which does have some problems. We're hopeful here, but it's not the best outcome of these cards. So let's see what Conjure Man Ali can do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with those readings. They're really dead on. I got the same impression, and I can certainly understand why Professor Ames gave you a positive reading, because there is potential here. But as Deacon Miller and Ms. Cat both gestured towards Pisces, they feel quite strongly. But when they don't, it's hard to get them to feel you, and that's what's going on in the situation. He has certain ideas and thoughts about love, and if you don't live up to that, there's not much you can do. So give this a timeline. I'm going to give you root work here, but give this a timeline. I think Ms. Cat said that you're up to 7 months right now, no more than 10, so only a couple more months. And if it doesn't work out, you need to move on, because you'll drown yourself trying to be his ideal lover, and you'll never get there. And the key here is that he does have certain ideas about how love should feel like. I'm always hesitant whenever a guy says, "I don't feel in love," quote-unquote, right? There's something seriously a problem there. So what I want you to do is to create a doll baby to get him to start feeling in that way. Put in this doll baby some Damiana. We want that passion to be stirring, rose petals for love and affection, juniper to make him willing, ginger to make his sex hot, and honeysuckle to make him cling to you, desire you, and want to be with you. You're going to sew this doll baby up. You're going to anoint it and baptize it in his name, and you're going to tell it that whatever I tell you to do, you're going to do. Everything that I tell you to feel, you're going to feel, and everything I tell you to hear, you're going to hear, and you'll see what I want you to see, and so on and so forth. And that doll baby will be him. Now, every day, what you're going to do is you're going to get some fires of love and love me incense. You're going to mix this together. You're going to light the incense, and you're going to hold the doll baby in your hand above the incense, smoking it in the incense, letting it get enveloped in the spirit of love. And you're going to call out to him, telling him that he yearns for you, that he wants to see you, smell you, taste you, touch you, desire you. So all he can think about is you and you alone. So this is a love spell with a little bit of an edge to it. It's not coercive or harsh, but it is to really push him, right? Kind of prick his conscience and his desire. So you're going to do this daily. When you are done with it, do this early in the morning. You're going to take red thread that you've anointed and with the same fire of love and love mixture. You're going to tie it to each side of his hand, and you're going to try to tie this as a garter around your thigh. Really high up, close to your chest, in your underwear, another way, place to put it, you can, so that he is constantly smelling you all day as you are walking around. This is to kind of really drive his desire for you, to make him go a little bit, what was the card you said, Deacon Millet? Banana something?
Totally
banana. Totally bananas.
Totally bananas. So you want to make him a little totally bananas. That's what we want. This is the work that I would recommend. Very powerful work. You have to do it with courage, strength, do it with faith. You desire, you need to be loved. He needs to give you this love. If after, now this may bring some temporary relief, if you see that this only brings a change, and after a few months, he goes right back to the way he was, that's a very clear sign that it's time to move on. Yeah, the sound is breaking up, but it's not from my end. There's some type of background noise on someone's call.
Okay.
All right, so that's what I would recommend.
All righty. Nagashiva, could you do me a favor and mute the caller and see if we can get rid of that broken up sound? Yes, cut sound from client, he says in the chat room. And yes, that breakup sound is gone. Is that right? Okay, all better. Sorry about that, client. Sometimes we get excess sounds in the line to Blog Talk Radio. Can't handle them, and it just starts cutting everybody in and out as the sound just vaporizes. All right, so that dolly, that's a wonderful, wonderful working, Ollie. I really like that. And wearing the dolly, it has to be a pretty small dolly now. Wearing it as a garter around your thigh near your crotch, you could put it on a ribbon. You can use any kind of a garter, but he's just saying make it a red thread. Being a man, he says thread, and I'm just going to say, Ollie, a thread would break. You're probably going to want a ribbon or a string. Just an old string,
I say thread, but what I really mean is it's kind of thicker twine-like thread or string or whatever it is.
Well, it's a little harsh on the skin now, baby. You just want a garter, basically, is what you want, an old-fashioned garter.
Well, and I would add that a garter that has been worn by a bride is really perfect.
A garter worn by a bride. Okay, now I'm going to tell you all something funny. Do you know you can go on eBay and find vintage 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s and 2000 garters previously worn by brides on
eBay?
They are there.
You learn something new every day.
I found out because I was buying wedding cake toppers for my little collection of wedding cake toppers for me and my husband. And there was this, here's the wedding cake topper, and with it you get the bonus garter. And I went, what? The bonus garter? I went and I searched for the garters. They are available. Crazy, huh? Well, I hope they had a good marriage. Don't just buy a sight unseen garter. You want to buy a garter from somebody who, you know. All right, folks. You're listening to, you want a good garter. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour, and here is Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Woodworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling from area code 415 in Oakland, California. This is Lisa. Lisa, are you there?
Hi, I am. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Welcome to the show. You're very welcome, and I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. And I see you have not gone to any other readers or root workers, haven't gone to Ms. Kat or Consman Ali on this situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Lisa writes, this past week, I had a phone interview for a promising full-time job. I have been doing contract work for the past several months because I wanted more flexibility in my work, but am concerned about financial security. Should I consider going back to full-time work? And if so, can you please suggest Rootwork to help me get an in-person interview and a good offer for this new position? Thank you. Turn it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask a couple of questions before I turn this over to Conjurman Ali for your first reading. First question I have is, you've been in the job force before. You're not a young person, right?
I'm in my early 40s.
In your early 40s. Okay, good. So, but you're not at that terrible valley of unemployment that happens when you hit 55. That's good. So you're still somebody they would consider wantable, lovable, habable, hireable. Okay. And then the other question, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I am an Aries on the Pisces cusp, Leo rising.
Oh, okay. Someone with some dynamism there. Okay. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali. The question is, should I consider going back to full-time work? And if so, can you please suggest root work? I'll suggest the root work, I think. But
Thanks, Kat. I pulled three cards here and in short the answer is yes, you should consider full-time work. The first card that I have here is the Eight of Pentacles. The Eight of Pentacles shows a person at full-time work. This is a person who is an apprentice of some sort, who is hammering these pentacles and putting them up for display. So you're going to have to start at some position and work your way up, working to highlight your attributes and skills. Whenever I see this card, I always tell people make sure that they have LinkedIn and all the other kind of professional social media aspects of it, or a resume online, so that you can show your skills out for all to see, because the pentacles are out there for everyone. There is one pentacle that he's pushed off to the side, so I would say that full-time work versus contractual work is something that you definitely need to be working towards. The next card that I have is the Emperor. There is someone in particular that you are going to have to impressed, an older individual. This person is probably going to be the single deciding factor on whether you get the job or not. They are not easily impressed. They have seen it all, done it all. And so you're going to have to work with softening elements. This person has also worked their way up, so they're going to respond very strongly to someone who is resilient, someone who has tenacity, someone who is going to work hard and be an asset. So you're going to have to demonstrate those qualities to this person. The final card that I have is the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands is a helper card. Here is a young individual with a yellow tabard, with salamanders on there and a staff. You want to get some help from a root worker to guide you, so it's excellent that you called in. I would recommend that you follow up this call by working with a root worker on a personal basis, having them as your guide to do root work, light candles, say prayers, make mojo bags on your behalf. You are going to need something to carry with you. It's very important. So maybe Ms. Kat can discuss a little bit of some root work that you can carry in your pocket or your purse. It's going to be a very important part of what you need to do. You also want to work with candles. So candles and something that carry with you. Combining distance work and work that you can carry with you is going to be the key to your success. And that's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett, who is going to your next reading.
All right. I'm going to pull another three cards for you. The first one is Temptation. This shows a snake choosing between two apples, and it's reminiscent of the serpent in Eden. And this is a card of decision making. You're clearly tempted, but you're not certain yet. Both choices appear positive in different ways. One gives you more freedom. One gives you more security. And definitely some meditation on pros and cons would be worthwhile for you, though I'm sure you've already done some of that. The second card is Self-Preservation, and this card shows a mummy in the desert at night and in the blue moonlight. This card says strongly, lean to whatever is secure for you. So the Self-Preservation card, to me, kind of says, hey, if you can get this job, you should get this job. It will be a good thing for you. The third card here is Tree Spirit Yakshi. And this card is the card of seasons. It's a card of nature. And what I usually tell my clients when this card shows up is to read and meditate upon Ecclesiastes 3. And to think about, you don't have to make decisions that are about forever. You just need to make decisions that are about the next season of your life. So in my own life, I've spent many, many years a freelancer, and I've also spent many years in full-time employment, and I've gone back and forth. And it just depends on what the season is. The last thought from these cards is you should really consider what you have to give up to take this job and how much you wish to be paid in order to give that up. Because my fear is that you're going to get an offer that isn't what you deserve or isn't worth leaving behind your freedom. There's a certain amount of money that, for me, you've got to pay me if I'm going to put on a tie. That's just, you know, part of life. So really think through the amount of money you want for this and make that part of your magical working as you move forward to take the job.
Okay. These are really interesting readings, I'm kind of going to go with what Conjurman Ollie mentioned and something that Miss Michael brought up in the chat room. And she's a very practiced reader, a very good reader, very inventive thinker. So, Miss Michael, thanks for the little tip about the snakes, because I'm not as familiar with the Dakini Oracle and that snake card. I'm going, and she said, put Samson's snake root in the mojo bag. So, that's a lady who knows her stuff. She really knows how to do it. Also, just a little call out again to the chat room. Someone asked, are we going to take another caller? No, the callings, we on this show, we take two readings per show. And you sign up in advance, a week in advance, during the previous week. So, no, we can't take any more calls now. But we'll be glad to take you next week if you sign up. And there's going to be little forum notices telling you how. And they run through the chat room constantly. All right. So I'm going to go to some of the things here that Lisa is thinking about. First of all, we did have the issue of amulet magic because we had a coin card, the eight of coins. And then we also had the issue of candle magic because we had a wand card and we had the emperor. So I'd like you to make a little nest of coins, is what I call it, a little collection of coins. And since the emperor is one of these coins, we'd like you to get some coin that has a male figure on, a presidential figure or whatever. It doesn't have to even be an American coin. It can be just somebody you like, some king. That is going to be your emperor. Because you're a woman looking for work, we want you to have a coin with a woman, maybe a couple of them. Sacagawea dollar always comes to mind, Susan B. Anthony, get yourself a bunch of these coins that are just have different images on them you like. They don't, like I said, they don't all have to be American coins. If you like Queen Elizabeth, get a coin with her on it. And you're going to make a nest of these. How many? Eight, because the card was the eight of coins. Okay. And I want you to address all those coins, and you're going to address them with Crown of Success, Steady Work, and also because the issue of how much money you're going to be offered is part of it, we're also going to put Boss Fix and Pay Me in there. Just mix a few oils. And rub that on the coins. Oh, and Miss Michael, kibitzing in the Peanut Gallery says, FDR, father of the New Deal. Absolutely. She says, when I need a kingly finger from American coinage, I like a Roosevelt dime. That's a good one. All right. So you're going to make this little nest of coins. And in this nest, you're going to put the bag that you're going to consecrate, and you're going to put a little bit of the herbs you're going to put into the bag. So, and we're going to let this all sort of sit and percolate under a candle for a while. So get a little bowl, and you're going to mix the following herbs in the bowl. That little tiny bowl is going to sit in the bigger bowl or on the saucer that has the coins. Okay, so maybe you put eight coins on a saucer, and you put one of the little tiny soy sauce bowls, the tiny bowls, nut dish, you know, in there, and you're going to put in there your herbs. So the herbs you're going to get are, we want some five-finger grass, so you'll be granted favors, Samson snake root, because we did have that snake in the reading. You're going to want gravel root, because that's going to get you a job. Those three good essential ones. Other ones that you might want would be some cinnamon chips for money. You might want some salt so that you get favors granted and things go the way you want. And you can put in any three, seven of them, whatever you want, four of them. You can look up in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic or look online at hoodooataglance.html. That would be luckymojo.com/hoodooataglance. There are lists of herbs that can be used for job getting and for money, but you definitely want to have gravel root in this mix. So now, once you put those herbs together in that littler bowl, and then I want you to take a few candles, and I want you to take some little candles. You might take some four little green candles, little four-inch green candles, little birthday candles, whatever, and I want you to put them around this in the form of a cross. And in the center, over that dish with the little bowl in it, you're going to put some sort of another bowl turned upside down, and on top of that, you're going to put one big candle. Okay, and that big candle is going to be something for steady work and job getting. That can burn for several days. And you can use a steady work candle, or you can just use a series of tea lights. You can use a seven-knob candle and burn one knob every day. It's not as important what form the candle takes, but what you dedicate them for. You're going to dress the central candle with all of the oils that you dress the coins with. You're going to dress the little candles the same way. And you're going to make this kind of little pile of all this stuff. Once that has burned, and I would say for a minimum of 3 days, and those little candles may burn out in 1 day, so you're going to do it three times. You can then take and put the herbs in the bag, and you can use any kind of a piece of flannel or a flannel bag. You can use a piece of leather, whatever you like to make a bag or container. And you're going to put in one of those coins, one of those eight coins. And you pick it at random if you want. Just put it in, and you're going to clean up your resume, make it nice and pretty, send it out, see if you can get an interview. If it doesn't work, light the candles again, put another coin in. Light them again, put another coin in. You may end up with a whole bag full of coins, but eventually you will get that interview and you will get that job. Any coins left over, any coins that you didn't need because, hey, the thing came through right away, give those coins to the poor, even if they're not American. Okay, so a coin each time you attempt for it is how to go. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And could you just clarify the coin? Should it be eight total? You mentioned male.
Eight,
a coin
because
with a male
had,
for the
yeah,
upper.
We started
okay.
off. Yeah, we started off with the eight of coins. That was the first card in the reading. And that's why we ended up with four candles. See, we're making a kind of a pattern here. If you think about it, I'm a pattern maker. So I got eight coins in a circle. I got four little candles at the four quarters. And now we're going to go. And those eight coins all should be different. And you're just going to let spirit guide you and put one in. First, put the herbs in that I mentioned. And then you're going to put in a coin. pull that bag closed or tie it up and just say, now, I'm going to get my job. You're going to wear that on you, carry it on you, and then you, if you get your interview and you get your job, you got the one coin, the rest go to the poor. But each time it doesn't, you're going to light another candle and do it again, put another coin in. By the time you've used up all 8 coins, you will have gotten an interview and you will have gotten a job. Okay?
Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, good luck to you. Now, does anybody have anything else to add to this?
Such a beautiful working. I feel like a lodestone would be a great thing to have
here. Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. So keep a lodestone there. Use the same oils to anoint it with and really feed it on a daily basis. And it will help to draw that perfect job to you for sure. You may also want some deer's tongue added to the herbs that you're using just to make the interview process go nice and cleanly. Lastly, if you have a photo of the person you want to interview you, you may want to burn a candle on that as well to just, you know, give it a little
put that
coercive.
Underneath, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Put that underneath the plate, underneath everything. That's kind of your basis. Very, very, you know, thank you so much, Deacon Mellon. A photo of the person who to whom you're going to be interviewed by, or the logo of the company, or a photo of the business place. I like to make a little thing, but that goes under the plate. That's kind of, that stands for their name and for those people. That's a very good way to work. Now, I don't want to make this so complex it's unable to be done. That's why I said just keep the list of herbs. If you can find nothing else, just buy we make a little packet of mixer called Money Drawing Herbs. Just get the Money Drawing Herbs. It's just got everything in it, and it's ready
perfect.
To go. It's ready to go.
I
and
love
how
it.
About,
I love,
how about
I love,
you, Contra Benali? Anything else to add?
I don't have anything to add. I do like the way of working with a pattern. In particular, I think this is going to be very useful because it also taps into the kind of the spirit of the Eight of Pentacles. It builds, right? So the way that Miss Cat is teaching you how to work, there's a spiritual logic, not just a literal logic of using coins and whatnot, but you're building, right, as you're going, right? And that's going to be very, very important for, you know, your success. So I think this is exactly what the doctor ordered. And it's going to be very, very useful in you getting this job.
I got to throw in something else here about why a circle of 8 coins, and because it was an 8, but why didn't I say a line? I have to explain here that when I was young, there were a lot of people who worked on white plates, and one of the symbols for steady work, and our label for steady work shows a clock on it. So I would actually, to me, if I was going to take the first coin, take it from the 9 o'clock position and work around clockwise, right? Because you want to show that you're working steady. But there are many ways to work. I know another form of work where you take 4 candles, and each day as you light them, you rotate all 4 of those candles around the circular plate. So you're actually rotating through time, but there's only 4 candles. They just move sort of spiraling around. There are many ways to work. What we're trying to get here is the idea of a rhythm, a circular rhythm of the time that you would work, the clock face.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was speaking to. Brilliant, brilliant. I absolutely love that. And also shows that you are working through time. So, love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lisa, I really hope you do well with this. If you have anything that you need to get for this, another thing that we have not mentioned, it probably would be dirt from the place where you want to get the job.
Amen. Yep.
And so if you can go to where the building is, where the job is, if they have flower pots outside, if they have dirt, grass, whatever, grab a little bit of that and put that in your bag too. Some people will work, how can I put this, some of the herbs and stuff that they don't put in their mojo, they would sprinkle them back with the hole where they got the dirt from, sort of like, this is me and I'm there, they're me, they're on my house, I'm in their house. Some people I know have taken a photo of themselves in front of the building where they want to be hired and then put that under the plate because, hey, here I am at my new job. All right? All right, good luck to you, babe. Now we're going to turn this over to Papa New. We're going to have some announcements, and we're going to come back after that with our free spell, which is going to be about Valentine's Day.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Deacon Millett of FourAlters.org in Joshua Tree, California. Take it away, Deacon Millett.
All right. So I know that you guys are going to talk more in depth about Valentine's Day next weekend, but I wanted to give folks a chance to get prepared. And, of course, the perfect thing is flowers and chocolates. And flowers have so many different love meanings, and I prefer roses myself. And when you go to chocolates for Valentine's, I like chocolate truffles, and they're so simple to make. There are a bunch of videos and recipes online, but the key is what you put in them. And in addition to cardamom and cinnamon, those sorts of things that can put some love and attraction and fire into your truffles. You can also use your personal concerns or a tiny touch of your bath water, which would be good for a Pisces. And you can use that to really seal the deal. I'm a big believer in personal concerns for love work. But then the last thing that I think is important, and this one works long distance if you can mail it, I'm a big believer in handmade Valentine's. Get the lace doilies and the construction paper and the glue and go to town. I am recommending violet leaves, rose petals, lavender buds, life everlasting, and honeysuckle to decorate your Valentine with, as well as candy conversation hearts. I think it's very important that when you glue things down, you take the opportunity to, again, use personal concerns. You can use your bath water and some flour to make a simple paste. You can use semen. You can use vaginal fluid. You can use menstrual blood. But it's important to be physically a part of your Valentine. One thing you can do is write their name in a circle on the Valentine. So go around putting their name in a circle over and over again. And then put a pinprick right in the center of your card, right in the center of those names. You can also prick your wedding ring finger and put a little dot of that blood hidden in your card as well. To finish things off, you can use sachet powders and incense powders. Some of the ones I like, Come to Me, Bewitching, Attraction, Look Me Over, Love Me, and, of course, Follow Me Boy and Follow Me Girl, which are really, really great for these kinds of work. You can hold the card in the incense as it burns. You can also make wavy lines, card, and envelope. I've been taking a lot of care with sachet powders because powders in the mail kind of can lead to problems. So make very sure you shake it all off very, very carefully at the end. And then carry this to the mailbox under your arm and walk to the mailbox so that you're really physically putting yourself there with that Valentine. And this is a good way to reach out to someone who's far away, but to make very physical contact with them. And have good luck with it. There are so many wonderful Lucky Mojo products that are perfect for adding to a Valentine.
Wow. Wow. Y'all crafty now? Y'all going to go to Beverly's Craft or Michael's Crafts? Y'all going to find it? May I add just a few things that I like to see on these two? Glitter. Glitter is great. And also a little bit of those confetti hearts. Those are great. Fabric glue may be used and regular glue. I recommend kissing everything before you glue it on. Sealed with a kiss. Seal the envelope with a kiss. This is true artisanry and craft work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, magic is called the craft. And this is what we're talking about here, is how to make a Valentine's card that is filled with ever so much more than just a simple, having a nice time, wish you were here. Now, these are done for long distance, and as he described it. But, Deacon Millett, you could use this and put the card with a box of chocolates you deliver by hand, right?
Absolutely. I just like it because I know that it's a quandary for people that don't have the chance to see the person they love on the day.
Right.
So it's particularly nice for that, but it works all over the place.
Right. So the reason we're mentioning it,
admirer.
Yeah. The reason we're mentioning it ahead of time here, this gives you a couple of days to make it and mail it and get it there by Valentine's, because if we told you about this on Valentine's, it wouldn't be there in time.
You can also...
go ahead.
You can also spritz it with your personal scent. If you're one of those people that adds a little bit of oil or love me oils into your perfume or cologne, you can spritz it ever so lightly. Don't, douse the thing, but from a distance. Spritz it in the air and wave it through it just to catch your scent. It's a great way of adding both your scent and a little bit of magic to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when we talk about things like rose petals and stuff, yes, you can buy rose petals dried from any place. But if you can get your own roses and dry them yourself, and if you can, anything you do on this card that is handmade, hand done, hand touched, it will be stronger. Just my opinion. It's hard to find, it's hard to find roses at this time of year blooming, but your florist will have them, and you might want to dry some yourself. In any case, the idea here is don't think that everything has to be, candy cane pink or whatever in red. Mm-hmm. It can be, you can make a peacock-colored Valentine's Day for someone whose favorite color is blue and green. There are people who dread Valentine's because the color doesn't suit them. They might want a purple Valentine's. Just remember the symbolism and the beauty and the artistry of what it is what counts. And if you have any questions about what color somebody likes, ask them. Ask them, say, what's your favorite color? They say, oh, my favorite color is a shimmery silver. You make them a shimmery silver Valentine's heart, okay? Try to suit yourself to what they like. Wow, okay. Everybody's got their scissors. They've got their glue. They've got their little glitter. They've got their pieces cut out of magazines help, too. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Deacon Millett. That's a great spell. All right. Well, that's coming to the end of the show, and we're going to go turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to make some announcements, and then at the end of that, we'll come back and we'll say our goodbyes. So, Papa Newt, take it away.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Countryman Ali, and thank you, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Countryman Ali at ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via the LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in next week once again at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Papa Newt. Thanks so much for that announcement. Now I'm going to say adios to Deacon Millett, our lovely friend. Thank you so much for being a guest and bringing us that lovely, crafty work.
I'm glad to be here and happy to be a part of this community.
Yeah. And thank you, Countryman Ollie.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. Now, as we come to the end of the show, I'm just going to make a couple of announcements. Remember, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is May 14th and 15th, 2016. Tickets are on sale now at hoodooheritagefestival.com. There's also a Hoodoo Heritage Festival Facebook page. Check it out. Just ask Google to deliver it to you, and they will. And then you can click on it and say hi. Tell us if you're coming and you're going to join us there in our community. And we will be back next week with a fabulous Valentine's Day show. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.